Monday, February 14th. My Valentine was that Lyndon slept until 9 o'clock. There couldn't be a happier gift. I had spent the night in my room, perversely, woke before 8, had coffee in the West Hall with Jim Kane and Dr. Berkeley and Dr. Fox and Marvin and Jake while we waited for Lyndon to wake up to finish having his medical exam. The results of all the tests were good. The weight of the problems in his head don't show up yet on his body unless it's those deepening lines on his cheeks. He's kept under 200 pounds. We have every reason to be grateful. Then when the doctors left, the Nugents came in, have a cup of coffee, and say goodbye. It turned out to be a long and very interesting talk. I brought up the subject of what Pat and Lucy could do when they return from their honeymoon. Which alternative? Go to work at the job Pat has gotten for himself, government committee on the Hill, and an apartment here in Washington. Or go to Austin, as Lennon has suggested, finish getting his master's at the University of Texas, while Lucy goes on with school, and while Pat works at least part-time under the incomparable tutelage of Jesse Kellum, a privilege whose duration is not known to any of us. Or, and this is the third alternative, and I myself am inclined to favor it, just pick out University X, where they have a good business administration school, where they will be completely separated from family, on their own to make their own mistakes or their own happiness. Try for at least 1 year learning about life together and responsibility and independence. Then I always, always hope they will come back to Austin by choice. Mr. Nugent quickly said that the Washington job would be his last choice. He thought they would be much better off away from the spotlight of the White House and away from a government job. I was pleased he said that. But he is inclined to favor Austin, and Lyndon very much thinks that Austin is the best solution for them. My difficulty is, how long, how supple would be the leash around Pat's neck as a son-in-law working at KTBC? Would we oversee him too much, blame or praise or expect too much? I want their companionship, but I want their independence more. If they were off at University X, they would have to learn what Daddy always used as though it were one word, the value of a dollar. Yesterday, Lennon had undertaken to find out the whereabouts of the Nugent's older son, who is in Vietnam, and from whom they haven't heard in a little over 3 weeks. His discovery was that his company was directly in the midst of the roughest fighting, Operation Double Eagle. Nothing is known about any one individual. The Marines say they get word of a wounded or killed man to his parents within 18 hours. So this is one of those times when no news is good news, and you sweat it out. Lyndon was wonderful with the Nugents, and the simplicity and straightforwardness and simple friendliness which he talked to them about Pat and Lucy and Jerry. They were driving to Florida, St. Petersburg, where they have a house trailer permanently installed in a trailer camp in St. Petersburg, and they spend about 6 weeks this time of year enjoying the sunshine and fishing and playing bridge. I worked at my desk a bit and then got involved in that feminine dilemma that seldom happens to me. What to wear? I had agreed to go to the Heart Luncheon, an annual event to raise money for the American Heart Association. It always takes place on Valentine's Day. And one of the largest rooms in town is loaded with chattering women in flowered hats whose tickets help a good cause that has struck home to me. Every year since 1955, I had gone to this, usually taking constituents. And as Lyndon progressed higher in his job, sometimes sitting at the head table as an honored guest, only when he got into the presidency had I stopped. And today was a lesson to me in how either I or the event had changed. In the first place, it lasted 3 hours. I have not been to a style show in years. I have not sat at lunch for 3 hours. The public luncheon, that is, for a very long time. Fortunately, I was between Dr. Helen Tausig, whose research meant so much for the Blue Baby operation, and Connie Casey, who had all the latest news from the Women's National Democratic Club. So it was lively conversation. Besides the style show, the entertainment consisted of a dancer with the remarkable name of Killer Joe Pyro. His relation to the Heart Association was a little vague to me. When we met at the reception and pictures were being taken, Liz carefully had several others in the group with Killer Joe and me. However, when it turned up in print the next morning, there the two of us were alone in apparently interested conversation. And then when he got up to entertain, he asked the audience to rise with him and go through all the motions of a dance called the swim. My fairly usual amiability was not equal to the occasion. I arose and watched the room full of ladies in various degrees of cooperation. Killer Joe Pyro, the dance leader. Back at the White House, Brent Eastman, who had flown up from Austin and was stopping over for a day or two of sightseeing before going on to England, was having a special tour. I asked him into the West Hall for a cup of coffee, hoping that Lyndon would show up for lunch. It was 3:30, because I would very much like for him to meet Brent. He'd loved our country. Lindbergh had taken him horseback riding for 3 or 4 hours in 70-degree weather. The country was green, about like April or May in Wyoming. We talked about the techniques of British doctors and what he would probably learn. He says they are inclined to think that American doctors are gadget-happy, too much oriented toward techniques and equipment and not toward the brain of the individual practitioner. I cannot fathom the degree of his interest in Linda, but I hope he continues being a part of her life. At 4 o'clock was the big event of the day, the meeting on the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library. Bill Heath had brought with him two other regents, Ruth Johnson and Frank Irwin, and Frank Icard lives here, so the Board of Regents was well represented, and Dr. Ransom had come also. Both Max and Roy White were here, Gordon Bunshaft. Clark Clifford was my standby. Dr. Grover, who had prepared from his vast storehouse of knowledge and experience the program, as it's called, that is, the outline of the needs for a library building, on which Gordon Bunshaft and Max will go to work. Dorothy and Juanita were with us. We met in the treaty room. I now feel that I have two boards of directors' rooms. The treaty room, which served to bring into being the finished product of Lyndon's boyhood home, and now, when we are in Washington, is the meeting place for our library discussions. And my other board of directors' room is the west room of the little house where Lyndon was born. We met at 4. It was a 3-hour meeting. The first big surprise was that instead of the 100,000 square feet, which had been originally envisioned by the university, that Dr. Grover's suggested layout had risen to 137,000 square feet, that the university was agreeable to it, and, most surprising of all, that at a luncheon meeting, the nucleus of this group here, decided to proceed simultaneously with building School of Public Service. This means we must accelerate on 2 fronts. 1, finding a director for the School of Public Service. 2, finding a director or archivist for the library. They should be aboard yesterday. They should help plan the buildings they will work in. Dr. Grover reported on the space requirements of all the components of the library. What will be done with this 137,000 square feet? Everybody present was in cheering agreement, although I think the regents are concerned about the public reaction, the possible additional expenditure. Frank Irwin reported on the land acquisitions. There were some 68 private individuals involved in the 19 acres which the university is purchasing. Agreements, more or less amicable, have been reached with all but 12 of these. It now remains for one more hard push to try to reach a settlement with these 12, or else there will be condemnation proceedings, court cases, necessary unpleasantness. Intertwined with all this is when should we have a release about the location of the library? In time to take the blast from these condemnation proceedings? It is a secret that can hardly be kept. It is almost a matter of public knowledge now where it will go, although there has been no official announcement. Dorothy and Juanita talked about the need for the very early establishment of an acquisitions committee. Modus operandi, where is money coming from? How can we get a bibliography of all the papers we have and all those that we need and don't have? Right. We talked of using the space in this 137,000 square foot structure that will not be immediately needed by the Lyndon Baines Johnson Library, because indeed it is planned for expansion. The space to be used by other university-owned and related exhibits, Latin American exhibit, Texana exhibit, perhaps the Walter Prescott Webb materials. Yes, of course, that would be agreeable to me. I felt it would be to Lyndon. But there should be some sort of written agreement that as the library expanded, those would be removed by the university in years to come. We progressed from coffee to scotch in the course of the 3 hours. Brunchef proved one of the most humorous members of the group, ruefully announcing that Texans think you can build things for you've even got it thought out. And Clark Clifford was my anchor throughout. I asked the Texas visitors to stay for dinner. So a little past 7, as Gordon Brunchef and Dorothy and Juanita and Clark left, and Dr. Grover, Oma Thornberry came in, and he settled the Regents and Dr. Ransom in the Lincoln Room, where he is established as our house guest, and drinks went in to them, while I took Ruth Johnson down to see the Mary Cassatt, and then on the first floor to see where we had hung Chandor portrait of Eleanor Roosevelt. And we discussed the needs of the White House, more paintings of the American great. She told me about their new exhibit of Georgia O'Keeffe. She's one of the most interesting women I know. When I return to Texas, I look forward to finding all the people who do things like she does and being a part of the life of my state. I called Lyndon, but it was nearly 9 o'clock before he joined us. He had a fire in the yellow room. I had a little time for a private talk with Dr. Ransom when he told me that all the names I had sent him as possible directors, all except 2, had appeared on the list produced by his faculty. His faculty committee, incidentally, going to work at great speed, will be presenting a preliminary program to the School of Public Service by March 1st. Will make visits to all the schools, have similar institutes or schools between now and May. Ask him to have them stop off and visit with me when we're up in this part of the country, perhaps going to or from Princeton or Harvard. Max and Roy and I had a moment about the 9th floor, hoped we could put it off. And Frank and I a moment about June, who he says is to her doctors an enigma, a miracle. They do not know how she is living. They have given her more cobalt than anybody is supposed to have. She's alive and happy, and they pray every night, he says.
Before they left,
Lyndon reached into his closet and gave mementos to all those who didn't already have them. This morning he had really loaded the Nugents. He gets such joy out of giving things to people that he likes, or who themselves express appreciation and delight at his doing it. He took everybody over to his office, except Max and Roy, with whom I needed to talk. And by 12 o'clock, the full day was over, and they were gone. Target date for completion is May of 69. Nothing is ever done on time. I will settle for October of 69. And I hope that the last months, I shall be very free and very busy working on the interior and the exhibits. Liz had put out the announcement of Lucy's wedding today, August the 6th, the place, the shrine of the Immaculate Conception. I had given her the go-ahead signal whenever she felt she needed to do it, to head off a stream of speculations. The party and the announcement story both set the tone for a family affair, not state occasion. Now comes a 6-month endurance contest of sticking to it.